God is looking for people who are full of His Spirit and are lining up with the truth of His Word to worship Him. So why does God look for them kind of people to worship Him? Because only them people are truly worshipers of God. Why is that? It's because when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He cleanses you from all of your sins and frees you from them. And He gives you a new name and a new life, and He sets you free, and you have an eternal home in heaven, a blessed hope. And you are so happy and joyful over what has happened in your heart and in your soul that you are clean, that all you can do is worship Him for who He is.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Delivering a sermon titled, Worshiping God, Brother Mark preached out of Psalms 29. And now, Brother Mark.
I worship You. I worship You, Your way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. We're going to be looking in Psalms chapter 29. And the title of this message is Worshiping God. Worshiping God. Psalms 29. Would you stand with me as we read God's Word? Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everybody says glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. The Lord sets His king forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And everybody said, Amen. Let's pray. Father God, bless Your Word to our heart this morning. Bring us to the place of worship. Worship in spirit and truth, Lord. And Lord, we come into this place and we gather in Your name to worship You because You are awesome, God. You are wonderful. You have delivered us. You have set us free of our sin. And Lord, we worship You because we love You. And we want to be in Your presence. And we want to bow down before You, and we want to be obedient to Your Word because of all that You've done for us. And Lord, we are a blessed people. And we need You every moment of every day. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, Amen. You may be seated. There's no word that's more misunderstood in the church than the word worship. Worship. Some churches believe that worship is music. And many churches have a song leader, and they call that song leader the worship leader. Some people enjoy music so much that they confuse this enjoyment with the only way that you can worship God. Worshiping God is much more than singing songs. Amen? Some churches believe that worship involves the use of rituals. And people in these churches, they love the ancient prayers. They love the beautiful liturgies of communion and incense and hymns that were written in ancient times. They love the standing, the sitting, and the kneeling at the proper times. And in all that ritual activity, they see worship. But worship is so much more than ritualistic activities, amen? Still other churches believe that worship is some kind of an emotion. In worship, people might experience a warm fuzzy in their heart. They might get up and start dancing, and in some churches, they get so emotionally worked up that they begin speaking words that are not understandable, some language that has no meaning, which they call speaking in tongues. And by the way, just to set the record straight, speaking in tongues is nothing more than speaking in a foreign language. And someone that might be in this church that did not understand the English language and was from some foreign country that was hearing the message and did not understand it, that someone in this audience might be able to speak in their language by a gift of God. They never knew that language before. So by a gift of God, they begin to speak in their language and interpret the sermon to them so that they could hear the message and that they might hear the gospel message and accept the gospel message and come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That, my friends, would be the gift of tongues. Tongues is not some gibberish. It's not some prayer language. If tongues is spoken in the church, it always edifies God. It always edifies the Lord, and there's always an interpretation present, okay? So know them things that the Bible teaches about tongues so that you're clear on what tongues are, okay? That's a side note. It didn't cost you any extra for that, okay? It will always edify the Lord. A manifestation of the Spirit of God in your heart is very important, amen? We all want God to manifest Himself in our lives, and that's very important. And we should always follow the voice of the Spirit of God, but the Bible even teaches us to test the voice, right? You always test the voice that's inside of you that's saying something, because if it's the Holy Spirit, it will always edify Jesus Christ, amen? And it will always line up with God's Word, always. If it don't line up with God's Word and it don't edify Jesus, it's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that didn't cost you any extra either. This is all just basic Christianity 101, all right? So what is true worship? Well, that's a great question. What is true worship? Worship is attributing worth to someone or some object. Someone or some attributing worth. In the Bible, in John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples are going to Jerusalem, and they have to go through this foreign country that the Jews didn't like very well, called Samaria. When they was going through Samaria, they stopped by Jacob's well, and Jesus told his disciples, he says, "You all go on in town and get some food. I'm going to hang out here at the well," because Jesus knew he had an appointment that day at the well. And as he was standing by the well, a Samaritan woman shows up. And Jesus asked the Samaritan woman, says, "Give me a drink of water." And the Samaritan woman looked at Jesus and said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why would you ask me to give you a drink? You don't even like us. And besides that, I'm a woman, you know?" And Jesus says, "If you knew who you were saying that to, I would give you living water that would never go dry." At that point, Jesus told her all about her past. And she was blown away and she recognized Jesus for who he was and says, "You're some sort of prophet from God, aren't you?" To this, Jesus explained, she then accepted the message of Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus as her Savior. And she asked Jesus this question. She goes, "People worship in different places. Some worship on this mountain, some worship in this church. They worship in different. Can you tell me the proper place to worship?" To which Jesus said, "There is no proper place of worship, because worship is related to the Spirit of God and the truth of God's Word." And he said, "God is looking for people who are willing to worship in spirit and truth." Spirit and truth. God is looking for people who are full of His Spirit and are lining up with the truth of His Word to worship Him. So why does God look for them kind of people to worship Him? Because only them people are truly worshipers of God. Why is that? It's because when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He cleanses you from all of your sins and frees you from them. And He gives you a new name and a new life, and He sets you free, and you have an eternal home in heaven, a blessed hope. And you are so happy and joyful over what has happened in your heart and in your soul that you are clean, that all you can do is worship Him for who He is. To worship God, we ascribe worth to God for who He is and what He's done. In Psalms 29 in verse 1, it says, "Worship God because of His glory and His strength." In verse 2, it says, "Worship God because of His glory and who He is, and because of the splendor of His holiness." The splendor of His holiness. You see, God is righteous. He's without sin. He's holy. And we worship God because of His holiness, because God has made us holy after His own holiness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are truly set free of our sins. If we truly know God, His Spirit lives in us, and we worship Him because we know of His righteousness and holiness, because of His splendor and glory, because of His salvation and grace, because of His love and mercy, because He is omnipotent and omniscient, because He took a filthy, wretched sinner like me and cleansed me of all my sins and adopted me into His family and gave me a new name and a blessed eternal hope. I believe many people come to church because it's the right thing to do. This is evident because we see it happening all around us. They expand upon the fact that when something happens in their life that I was going to church, like it would be brownie points. I was going to church when that happened. If you're going to church to get bonus points with God, you're going to church for the wrong reason. It's also evident in other people's lives when tragedy strikes, they quit coming to church because it wasn't working. It's like, if you go to church, God's going to bless you, but if you don't go to church, He won't bless you. So if you're going to church and something happens in your life, you must not be being blessed by God, so why go? Coming to church is nothing more than coming into a place to worship God with a body of believers. Amen? And we can worship God on a tree stand. Amen? We can worship God out on ministry in the boat. We can worship God anywhere, right? But God calls His people to come together collectively to worship because there is power in worship of number of people, of believers. And God wants us to come together collectively to share our hearts, to share testimonies, so that we can see where God's at work. And God's always at work every day all around us. Amen. We was talking about this in Sunday school. God's at work everywhere all around us all the time. A lot of times we don't see him because we're not looking at what's going on through spiritual lenses. And the world don't see God at work at all. If something happens, that's God didn't do that. That was the doctor that did that. God didn't do this. That was something else that did that. God didn't figure that out. Man figured that. God didn't. But believers see that as God's work. They know that happened because God allowed that and figured that out and orchestrated all that. And in Psalms, we see that God sets over the floods. And on down there in Psalms 29, it says, God sets over the mighty flood. Do you remember what the mighty flood was? The mighty flood was when God flooded the whole earth and everybody on earth passed, except Noah and his family. Talk about a bad pandemic. That one would set you straight, amen? True worshipers go to church because they love God and they want to worship him in spirit and truth. The Bible says that some people trust in horses and chariots. Who or what do you put your trust in? Who or what takes preeminence in your life? Is it your job? Is it your truck, your car? Is it a relationship? Is it some activity? What is it that takes preeminence in your life? Billy Graham said it this way. Back before we had debit cards and all that, we did a lot of our transactions by check, right? He said, show me your checkbook and I'll show you who your God is in life. Amen. It's where you place all your value is where your God is. Okay? So if we were to examine your personal account, where would it point that your God is? One thing we learned about this pandemic is that in a moment, everything can change. You can be the poster child of health, and in a moment you can get back the medical test result. You can be safe and secure in a great job, and in a moment you could be handed unemployment. You can be in a great relationship, and in a moment you can come home to a Dear John letter. You can be living in a great country, enjoying a great economy, attending a great church with a great family, and in a moment, the whole country is shut down, and you're required to shelter in place, and the stock market crashes, and the most important thing in your life becomes social distancing so you don't catch a virus in a moment. Listen, folks, God we worship in this place is the God of Psalms 29. Our God controls the thunder and the floodwaters. Our God is powerful and majestic. Our God is so mighty he can take down the trees of Lebanon. Our God can take the mightiest of all cities like Lebanon and Sirion. Our God controls fires and earthquakes. Our God controls conception of all babies, both human and animals. And if he created them, we have no right to strip them out of the womb and kill them because we chose to worship something else or someone else. If our God can strip a forest bare, our God is the God of peace internationally, in our nation, in our neighborhood, and he's the God of peace of these riots that are going on, and he's the God of peace in your heart. And if God is in control of all things, he's in control of COVID-19. And he's in control of all these riots. And he's in control because he's the God of peace, and the God of peace puts peace in your heart. And when you have peace in your heart, you don't want to riot. When you have peace in your heart, you don't want to fight with your brother. When you have peace in your heart, you don't want to have fear. Because you know the God who's in control of all things, and that's the God of Psalms 29. Are you worshiping God in spirit and truth? In the stars, his handiwork I see. On the wind he speaks with majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me? I will celebrate nativity. It has a place in history. Sure, he came to set his people free, but what is that to me? Till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, who lived way up there, but now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me. He's everything to me. I hope that all of you enjoyed coming to the church for the right reasons. I love coming to church because I love God and I love God's people. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, I thank you for this psalm. This psalm that points out the fact that you are awesome, God. You're majestic. You're in control. You're all powerful. And Lord, it is an awesome privilege to know you personally, to call you Abba, Daddy, our Father. And Lord, to know that we have a voice as we come to you in prayer that you hear. And even though you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God who's in control of everything, you still listen to us. And so, Lord, this morning we pray as we humble ourselves before you. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins. And Lord, we turn from them. And Lord, we pray that you would heal our land. That you would heal it from the violence that's going on, the rioting. That you would heal it from the virus that's out there, the COVID-19. Lord, that you would heal it from the people that want to take you out of every place in our society. And Lord, may we see revival in our land and restoration. And may we see you placed back into the important places in our country, in the schools, in the libraries, in the home, Lord, in our government, in the documents that guide everything we do, in the courts of our land. Lord, we see our courts turning against you, these justices turning against you. Lord, I pray that you would intervene in every one of them cases. That, Lord, you might be lifted up and worship for who you are. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He's singing page 318.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.